Welcome to the Dr. Espen podcast, where we explore the latest in quantum science, personal development, consciousness and spirituality, health, as well as business and money mastery. Join me as I interview experts from all over the world sharing the most incredible stories of transformation. This is where we provide you with the exact tools and coaching activities you need to expand your consciousness in each of the eight areas of your life. For more info on our events, programs, coaching, etc., go to drespen.com for the full quantum experience. Greetings and welcome to the Dr. Espen podcast. I am Espen and today I am joined by none other than Simone Meleses. Did I say that right?
You got really close, Simone Meleses. Nice to be here.
Yes, it's a privilege to have you. This is a conversation around how to bring joy and success to our professional lives. Stay tuned if you want to grow, scale your business, have impact, et cetera, et cetera. This is a beautiful conversation. So firstly, Simone has been featured in Forbes, Huffington Post, Mind Valley, and many other media outlets as an innovative business leader, best-selling author, and a global speaker. Simone's capacity for wealth creation has catapulted her from $187,000 in debt to becoming a multimillionaire with a thriving, diversified portfolio. She has a very unique business approach that she's been applying for the last three decades that cannot be found inside any traditional textbook. And today we're going to talk about some of her work as well and give you access to some of that. I think particularly the book Joy of Business is something to really pay attention to. So today we're going to talk about how to start a business, scale a business, how to do it beautifully, how to do it successfully. And most importantly, I think from this conversation, it's also how to do it joyfully. So let me start by officially saying welcome, welcome. How are you this morning, Simone?
I am so wonderful. Thank you so much for having me here.
Pleasure. Joining in from the gorgeous Sunshine Coast in Australia, it's good to have a fellow Aussie on the call. And with what you've been doing over the last three decades, I'm really excited to have this conversation because I think a lot of people today are, and not just today, but particularly with what's happening in the world at the moment, they're asking quality questions in regards to career, vocation, business. How do I start a business? How do I scale a business? And you've been doing this now for three decades. So I want to just quickly open, because some of the things that we briefly discussed before we hopped on was the joy of business and how to make it fun. And you've obviously written a book on this as well. So maybe we start there. Why is it important for any person that is in business and wanting to scale perhaps, or a person that wants to start a business, to consider having fun and having joy in business?
I think it's really important to have a joy business. And I wrote the book because I thought that everybody had a joy business. And I remember talking to a friend at one stage and I was talking about a choice that somebody had made and they went, and I said, why did they do that? And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, it's business and business is joyful. And he looked at me and he went, no, it's not. And I said, yes, it is. And we sort of did this back and forth thing. And he said, Simone, people don't do business for the joy of it. And it was honestly this conversation, I went, what? And I was like, are you kidding me? And I was like, why would you do something if you didn't have a joy in it? For me, we spend so much of our life doing work, like doing something to, you know, earn money, create money so that we can create a lifestyle. So one of the things for me is I look at is it's not something for me that you switch off from. And I know people always do that thing, especially if you're an entrepreneur. I hope you get to have a holiday. I hope you get to have time off. And I'm like, time off from what? I'm like, my life is amazing, you know, and I do incorporate, you know, the relaxation and the movement of my body and all that sort of thing all the time. But I think for me, like I say, if you've got blood running through your veins, you're in business because your life is your business. So what if everything you chose created some joy in your world? Because you'll know the days, like I had a pretty interesting day yesterday where I was super tired and I actually canceled or rescheduled two things because I was like, the energy behind it was force. And if I know if I do something from force, it's not going to create anything greater. Now, for me, I woke up today and I was like, I feel so great. My body feels amazing. I'm like really, you know, enthused about the day. That's a level of joy. So I know when I have that sense of joy in my world, then everything about business, because absolutely love it comes to me as well. And for me, you seem to be able to hear and perceive what the possibilities are, because, you know, there's so much around us that is so energetic and there are possibilities everywhere. All we have to do is ask a question and start to receive the information and engage with the entirety of the world, and stuff can show up. If you do that from being frustrated and forceful and trying to control everything, you will limit what can show up and your business will be something that is not something that is fun for you. Whereas if you have that place of relaxation and that sense of joy with what it is you are bringing to the world as well, because if you're in business, you're bringing it to the world. So is it creating something greater for the planet, for you, you know, for your friends, for your family, etc.? And if it is, that joy is just going to exponentialize. So for me, I think it's really important to actually enjoy what you do.
I think this is critical, because I know for a lot of people, there's been this past conditioning and this belief that we need to hustle, we need to grind, we need to push, we need to stress, we need to rush. And I know that there will be times in, you know, a person's life, and I've experienced this several times in my life, where there will be hustle. Hang on, I got to just get this thing done. I've got a deadline. I've got to get to LA to do a presentation. This is just how it is, whatever. And that's okay. But I think the issue here, which I'm hearing you speak to as well, is that most people, or at least some people, might not have realized that business can be fun. And I don't know what if you picked up what Simone just said, but you will notice in your life, and please, you know, fill in the blanks here, Simone, anything you want to add. I think I notice so often, like you've noticed yesterday, that some days seems to be like pushing, as we say in Australia, shit up a hill. Like we need to swim upstream, like it's a heavy push, like it's not flowing. There's something that's just not right. And nature doesn't work that way. And universal flow doesn't work that way. And so why then do we try and force through the barriers when we have a stuck or it's not flowing, instead of just taking a break, having a nap, and going at it again with momentum? Can you talk a little bit more about what this means to be able to understand how to flow and be in joy in creating what you've done as a self-made millionaire?
Yeah, look, to be honest, I never used to function like this. Like, I think you've had Dr. Dane here on your show as well. And he's a friend of mine. And he said to me one day, he said, Simone, you go like 90 miles an hour and everybody else goes 70 miles an hour and you go 80 miles an hour and you go, see, I relaxed. And I was like, oh my God, I've known him for like 23 years. And I went, that is so true. So something I've really been working on is also instilling relaxation in everything that I choose. Because last year, I had two episodes, like one in London and one here, and I ended up in hospital in an ambulance because I couldn't walk. And it was such a place. And I know so many people have had that, like where something physically, I know you broke both your legs. It's like something physically happens and then you go, you really have to have a look at what it is you're choosing. So, I mean, I got a CT scan. Great. I can have a look at what's going on in my spine. But it wasn't just physically. It was like, what am I choosing to create in the world? And I so love what I do. So I would wake up and just be so enthused and creative and just keep go, 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 go. And I realized, and it sounds easy. You go, relax. Someone tells you to relax and you're like, are you kidding me? You know, you just want to like, you know, slap them across the face or something. And that's how I was. And I realized I need to incorporate this big time. Like I have a joy business, but I also need to incorporate the relaxation. So what is that going to look like? And I am discovering that this is something so different to what I thought it would look like too. And like, so yesterday, if I use it as an example, I literally lay on my bed and I can, where I am, very lucky, I'm across the road from the ocean, so I can hear the ocean from my bedroom. So I lay on my bed, I could hear the ocean, and I put this like lavender meditation pillow over my eyes, and on my, you know, beautiful sound system, I put this like 528 hertz, you know, music on. I didn't look at my watch. I just lay there and just pretty much told my body, hey, you get up when you want to get up. And it was about 35 minutes that I lay there. And then I got up and I was like, okay, now what? Like, which is pretty much a question in my world. Instead of, okay, I've got to go look at all the platforms, answer all the emails, look at all the WhatsApps, you know, Telegrams, all of that. No, I was like, okay, now what? What do I require? And I find cooking quite relaxing as well. So I went and baked and cooked and then was like, okay. And it just changed my world. And I think you need to, we go to this place of like, I need to do more, I need to do more work-wise, What if it's the opposite? Like, what if everything you've ever been told about business you found out was a lie, and it was you need to relax into it and more possibilities will show up? And it takes a lot of courage to choose that, because you go, well, hang on, if I put more hours in, that means, no, it doesn't actually. It's like the more you relax, and the way I would look at this is you start to have this spherical awareness. And the spherical awareness is from everywhere. It's not just what's in front of you. It's not just what your phone is pinging at you. It's from everywhere. So you'll get, I mean, you work worldwide. I work worldwide. You'll get this hit and be like, oh, you know what? I need to call this person in Italy, or, you know, whatever it is, because you've literally opening up your awareness to everything, and you're receiving everything with ease.
Okay, this is powerful. Let's consider this for a moment. There is, as we know, a scientifically proven field of divine intelligence that makes up the majority of who and what we are. We call it the quantum field in science, or unified field. It can be referred to as consciousness. There's so many names. If we understand that, as per neuroscience as well, we can't actually access the executive center of the brain, we can't actually open the heart to the next level if we're living in fear or living in fight or flight. And we know that we don't manifest what we want, we manifest what we are vibrationally. Why then would we think that we need to hustle, grind, and stress and live in stress to build a business of our dreams, unless that business is, if you want to create it, based on fight or flight and stress? So I hear what you're saying. I think this is really fundamental. And I love that we've actually gone here before we talk about how to create a multi-million dollar business and some blueprints and some ideas, because I know the brain is like, come on, give me the, you know, the structure, give me this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Listen, we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
The analytical mind, right? But we don't want to go there unless we build it on an appropriate foundation from the vibration that can be scalable or scaled from. And within that, I think everyone listening and watching could agree that our intention would be to do that from a place of love, not from a place of fear. So maybe go back and listen to what Simone said and listen to it again, as in, how do you ensure that you are in a beautiful state, that you listen to your body? And you also mentioned in some of the questions that we've discussed how to build a multi-million dollar empire based on intuition. So I think maybe this is the segue. We've talked about living in a beautiful state, having the joy of business as per your book, which we'll speak about a little bit later. And then once we listen to our body, we listen to the mind, we rest when we are exhausted and need to rest, and we work when we're inspired and when we're in flow, and maybe also when we have to, I get that. Okay, how do we then go from, let's now assume that we've got that foundation, we live in a beautiful state, we're taking breaks, we're doing our yoga, our breath work, whatever, how do we start and how do we scale? From you, we're $187,000. It's funny you say that, because I was $147,000 in debt in start of 2011. So I look, 187, I'm like, cool. That's such a powerful journey. I know the experience. I was going to bail on the debt. I'm in Australia. I'm going, I'm off to Norway. I'm done. I'm giving up. And then, you know, here we are, you know, multi-million dollar a year companies later, but same as you. But I want to hear, how did you do it? How does one go from wherever they are to creating a global, if that's what they want, multi-million dollar type business? What are some of the steps?
Yeah, okay. I will give you some of the steps, but you'll probably know this as well. You know what? Choice is your biggest thing in the world. You choose, okay? You choose your life. And I was choosing my life and I was creating a lot. Like, if you'd looked at me, you wouldn't have said, oh, she's in debt, or she's, you know, Dios mío, I've got no money. Like, I wasn't like that. I was ignoring it, basically. And I was so good at getting loans from different places or getting another credit card or whatever it was, you know. And I somehow thought magically it was going to go away. And then I realized that I need to change something. And I remember reading this quote by Einstein, and he said, if you keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result, it's the sign of insanity, right? And I was like, I keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result. And I realized I had to look at what was my point of view about money, because somewhere in my world, I was trying to prove I can live, I can create with no money. It was sort of like, see, look, money is the, you know, you don't need money. And I had all these different points of view rather than actually just, money's just money. It's not judging you, but we spend so much time judging money, you know. So I realized I had to start looking at what my point of view was. So with the tools of access consciousness, what I did was, the first thing I did was ask, What is my point of view around this? Because I realized anything. There could be a Lamborghini drive past me. And in my head, I go, wow, that's such an expensive car. Is that actually my point of view? Like, what is my point of view? Or, you know, going to a restaurant and, you know, you ask your body what it wants to eat and it says lobster and champagne and you go, oh, no, that's too expensive. Is that my point of view? And I realized I was picking up on so many points of view about money, even something like, oh, this is a poor area. We better be careful. Clutch your handbag or something. And I'm like, well, where's the awareness, you know? So that's one of the first things that I did start to look at was what is my point of view in regards to this? Because I realized I picked it up all from my parents, your culture, you know, everywhere. I mean, you're born in Australia. I was born in Australia. Like, gosh, the mentality here is a whole other topic, you know? And so I started looking at that. And then I was using Access Consciousness tools. I met Gary Douglas and Dane Hiar, and I was using the tools and it was changing my life. And the one place I wasn't using the tools was with money. And then I actually organized a seminar from them in the Gold Coast and it was on money. It was called Money's Not the Problem, You Are. And they have a book based on that now too. And I was sitting in the audience and I'm like, and in my head, I could hear myself going, oh, here they go again, talking about money, these tools with money. And I went, what are you doing? I went, Simone, you know you're in debt. You don't know how much. What if you actually just started using these tools? So I made this demand of myself, and I think it's really important to get that you can demand of you. You can't demand of anyone else. You can request the universe, but you can demand of yourself. And I made this demand of myself, take some of these tools and put them into action. And I did and I didn't like it. I didn't like some of these tools. I actually thought these tools were a bit silly. They're not going to work, but I'm going to try something because I knew I had to do something different. And I actually set a reminder like on my calendar, one of those, you know, calendars you have on your wall for 3 months. And I went, if I use these tools for 3 months and let's see what happens, what shows up. So I did. And at the end of 3 months, I looked at all of my finances and I went, because by this time I'd worked out, I was $187,000 in debt and had a pretty big beyond moment. I remember sitting in my kitchen, pouring myself a glass of wine, going for about 10 minutes, just freaking out. And then I went, okay, breathe. What are you going to choose now? And so I started implementing these tools. And then at the end of 3 months, I looked at my finances and I went, I don't have a great deal of money. But what I noticed was, and again, energetically, my point of view had changed. And I wasn't living this stressful life of how am I going to get the rent this week, which I know a lot of people do. And I think you need to look at the insane points of view you have around money, something like, oh, rent's due on Friday and it's Wednesday and you can hustle and you end up getting it. And somewhere you go, see, I just made it. What if we stopped proving to ourselves and everyone else that we can do things at the last minute? Because there's no relaxation in that. That's just, as you said, you know, the hustle, which I've got to say, I don't mind the hustle. I think you can make hustle into a fun thing too. I think sometimes you do need to hustle. Like you said, you're giving a speech in LA and you're like on the plane going, okay, let's hustle. What's going to make this great? I think there can be a joy in that when it's not done from force. So that's a whole other topic too. But so I used these tools for 3 months and I noticed that things started to change. But one of the biggest things I noticed was my level of receiving stepped up. And I started to receive money from really random places. And I noticed that before, I probably would have said no. And it's so simple. If you want to increase your receiving, the next time someone says to you, hey, can I get you a cup of coffee or buy you a drink or something, notice what you do. Do you actually receive it or do you go, no, I'll get it. Or no, it's fine. I got this. Like, what do you choose? Next time something so small, someone opens a door for you. Go, thank you, and start receiving it. Because if you start receiving those smaller things, you will start receiving on a much larger scale. And again, it goes back to the energetics of it. Like there was one thing that I did was my father, who absolutely adored me, and he would try and give me money my whole life. Like all he wanted to do was make sure his kids were financially stable and, you know, give us everything he could. His whole life story, you know, escaping from World War II, blah, 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 this whole thing. And I always refused. I was like, no, I don't need your money, you're a petulant teenager. I don't need your money. I can do this on my own sort of thing, you know. And one of the things I did choose to do was he wrote me a check for $50,000 and I received it. And one of the things I noticed was when I received this check, I noticed his whole body just relaxed, like every molecule in his body. And I went, I realized how unkind I had been to my father for so many years for not receiving from him. That is such a simple and powerful tool to even just start receiving. And so that was at $187,000, that was a pretty big chunk, $50,000 to start breaking away from that. And then, like I said, random jobs showed up, all of these different things, but I started noticing that I wasn't trying to work solo in the world anymore. I was receiving from a really different place.
Oh, I love this. So again, we've talked about the fundamental and
pragmatic.
Yeah. Well, that was that. No, that's just brilliant. This is so good. And we've talked about the vibration that we give out, and it has to start, I agree, with being aware of where we're vibrating. Are we in stress and contraction or in love and expansion? And then the receiving part. I absolutely agree. I think there's a lot of awareness to be gained by looking at the pattern of receiving in general. So starting with, you know, would you like a coffee? Would you like this? And observing how we're either one, able to receive and accepting that receiving, or if we're actually pushing it away. Because if we're doing that with a cup of coffee or with someone offering to buy us lunch, very likely that we'll do it with bigger projects too. I love this. Okay, so then you started, you know, getting yourself out of the hole, out of debt. And then you realized that part of your purpose was to show people how to make money with joy, how to have businesses and create impact with joy. So if someone's now thinking, okay, I've got this business idea, I get these fundamental principles and I want to do it from a place of joy, or maybe someone has a business already and they want to scale, what will be some of the next steps then that they would need to take or consider in terms of making it and doing it successfully?
Okay, I am going to do a sales pitch for my book. I would highly recommend getting my book, Joy of Business, because it's got so many tools in there from even hiring staff, you know, because a lot of people have, the thing that I think locks us up is the insane points of view that we have. And, you know, if we could work everything out with our logical mind, we'd have everything we ever desired. But it doesn't work like that. We have these insane points of view, and even something like hiring staff. I can't tell you the amount of clients or, you know, in my classes, people go, oh, but I can't do that because da da da. And it's like, well, no, it's like, it's about being out of control, not trying to control everything and actually allowing the contribution to come in. So if you have an idea, and this is something I've been looking at this year, I facilitate a lot of different classes, you know, on from business, money, relationships, consciousness, all of that. But business is something that is really close to my heart. And I've been looking at this from, sorry, I know it's a little bit of a tangent, but the, you know, if we look at from the 1970s, we never relied on governments. It's like we relied on businesses and we contributed to each other. And, you know, the whole buy local thing or support your local business sort of thing. And then something occurred where people started believing that the governments were going to look after us. And in truth, the government should be, they're looking, we're hiring them, you know, is the way it should work. So for me
too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So for me, I have this like demand of myself, and I'm going to say request of the universe, to really go, how, when, where, and why can I help people around the world that if you have an idea, just start. What if we could all create the businesses from these amazing generative ideas that we have that can contribute to the planet, contribute to you, make a profit. Don't be afraid of money. Make money. Yeah. Money is fun. I've learned that money is fun. I way prefer traveling, you know, business first class than traveling economy. You know, I've done that. I've slept in, you know, a lounge room floor on a friend's place because I couldn't afford a hotel. I like having a nice hotel room. You know, I like having all of that. I enjoy it and I don't judge it now. And I think that is a key element too. God, I keep going back to the energetics of it. But if you can come out of judgment of what you're choosing and come out of judgment of money, come out of judgment of you being in business, then you will create a different reality for sure. And like I said, if you, and we've been talking about, is that energetic, like that big energetic universe that we are aware of, and then start to listen to what next. You know, I mean, if you look through the phases of, you know, people used to go, I need to get a business card. You know, that was the big thing for years. You couldn't have a business unless you had a business card, you know. And then it was like, I need a website. And everyone was building their landing page websites. And it was a big thing, you know. You didn't have a business unless you had that. And now I think it's really turning into something entirely different. Social media has become something that a lot of people lean on. And I actually came off social media on February, 1st of February, I just went, I'm done. No social media for a month. I want to see what shows up. And it was very interesting personally, and also to see what everyone that I work with did, because they all sort of went, how are we going to promote stuff? And I went, well, yeah, good question. How are we going to promote stuff? What if we could engage with people in a really different way? Because for me, I'd love to bring back old school, you know, old school of us engaging with each other in such a different way, and not making it so based on algorithms, based on, you know, the technology. I mean, I see that you've got a retreat happening. I was looking at that in Bali and I was like, God, that looks amazing. You know, like that sort of energetic connection that we can have with each other, that is more potent than we could describe. Like that sort of energy out there in the world, I think is just so valuable. And I think you just have to start. Like, what is it? Start talking to people. Like, what is your business? So as an example, one of the businesses, because I have many businesses, one of the businesses I have is in the antique industry, interesting enough. I have two shops in Brisbane and one in Perugian Beach. And our Perugian Beach shop is not doing well at all. And I don't pretend it is. But here's the thing. Am I going to start buying into all the trauma and drama that everybody's doing? And you know, everyone's like, oh my God. And it's almost like they're walking on eggshells. No one's spending money. And they start this. And that's an energy. You start that rumor. That's what you create, right?
Yeah.
So we met up, my business partner and I and our manager, and we were like, okay, we need to change the trajectory here. We need to change the story. Okay, so what are we doing? So next week, what we're actually doing is, because we looked at it and we went, okay, we're in the Sunshine Coast. We've got a lot of antiques, but it's not really antique-y here. So we're actually going to do a whole overhaul of the shop and bring up some more stuff that's more, you know, you'll know what I'm talking about, more Sunshine Coast orientated, because we have sort of stuff. We have a whole warehouse in Brisbane, so we can do that. So instead of buying into the, oh no, this is over, what do we need to do to change it? And then we sat on my veranda and we just talked about everything. What are our possibilities? And we're like, okay, this one. All right, this one. And we're like, possibilities of having somebody else lease half the shop, you know? There was like that. And then what we actually got to at one stage was the building's for sale. And we went, what if we bought the building, bought the commercial property, you know, and then looked at that. So there's all these different things that we started to open up rather than going down that rabbit hole of this is not working. If you go down that rabbit hole of this is not working, you will create that. And I see a lot of people who choose, I call it the joy of failure. It's like they choose to fail in their business because they're almost too afraid to actually have success. And that joy of failure is that energy of like, oh, well, I gave it my best shot. But now you are the same as everybody else. Are you willing to be so different and actually step into that success and have that and start receiving that? Because you will be different. You're going to be different to nearly everyone around you. I mean, most of my friends don't earn as much money as me. It's like, I'd love to be playing leapfrog with so many people, because there is a lot of money in the world. There is a lot of money in the world. There's just, you know, there's not a lack. There's people choosing lack. And if you're one of those people choosing lack that's getting annoyed at me right now, it's your choice. You can choose to change it and you can choose something different. But when you want to start this business too, it's like I said, it's, there's not like this, I don't have like a business plan, but the business plan is being in question. Okay, so what next? So this one business not doing too well. We came up with, like, we sat on my veranda, like I said, six different scenarios. Okay, let's choose one of them. Do we just go online? You know, what else? What else? What else? What else? And then also you've got to know the time when it's time to actually shut a business down. Is this business actually working now? Or is it time to close it and create something different? That's also a whole other topic.
This is good. Thank you. I think this is vital because, again, you know, I do an experience in one of my events too, where I take our students back to their earliest memory. Mm-hmm. And 97% of our students are more conscious than the average person out there, I would say, because they're doing the work, they're working on themselves, they're showing up, they're, you know, they're breathing, they're meditating, they're learning, they're healing, they're, you know, developing themselves. However, a lot of them, their earliest memory of money is fear-based and scarcity-based, and they don't know that they're still carrying the same program. And so, as I say, you don't have a money problem, you have a money program. And then people get a bit pissed off, but then I take them back and then they get to discover it for themselves. And then I ask them, do you still have the same feeling in your relationship to money today? And again, 95% of the 97%, yes. And so we do know that there is a deep ingrained subconscious fear-based pattern or program around the relationship to money and around abundance and around success. And you are spot on. I think a lot of people are afraid of success. So firstly, if you can become cognitive of the fact that you do not need to live in stress and live in fear around money, around business, and you can be financially abundant and then some. And I also think, you know, you listening, watching, consider this. You deserve it. There are people out there in the world that are doing horrible, harmful things and they're making a killing, literally. And there's so much money. Why aren't you wealthy when you could be serving the world, doing something that is meaningful to you and receiving amazing abundance? Okay, something to consider. Now, Simone, I want to ask you the next question. I love this and I think this is important because now we're talking the basics of quantum physics, that everything is energy. We've talked about neuroscience and about moving from the sympathetic nervous system of stress to the parasympathetic nervous system of presence. And now we're talking strategies and learning to receive. I think we've covered a lot of really powerful basics. And I know for me, I've burned out three times. I've experienced burnout three times. And it is a very painful process. And it's a very humbling process because in my experience, what I had to do with my last burnout, which was like two and a bit years ago, I can't do anything. I had no joy working, no joy doing the things that I love, including exercise and movement. I had no joy being with my son. I had no dopamine left. I was just gone. And I know for me, that took me a long time to just surrender and say, you know what, stuff it. I'm just going to trust and let go. You say that rather than succumbing to burnout, breaking down, failing in that regard, we can actually relax into stress. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you do that? You mentioned a couple of tools, but I think if you explain it, and then listeners and viewers can choose a tool or a methodology as to how they could do that. How do we relax into stress so we can keep taking care of our energy as we expand our empire and our businesses, etc.?
Well, one of the tools I would give is, who does this belong to? Which is a question, right?
So access consciousness stuff?
Yes, absolutely.
I love this. This is such a good question. Let's go there.
Yeah, yeah. Who does this belong to? Because we go, oh, I'm stressed. And it's like, are you? Like, for, you know, is it yours? So because, we buy into, you know, okay, 99% of your thoughts, feelings, and emotions are not yours, literally. So every single, do this for 3 days, every thought, feeling, and emotion, ask, who does this belong to? Is this mine? You don't need to work out it's John's, it's Aunt Betty's or anything like that. It's like, if it lightens up, like if it's got this lightness in your world, it's not yours. You are aware of it. I think we need to acknowledge just how friggin' aware we are. We are so aware. And then we start to buy all of that trauma and drama and all of that as ours. And then we get stressed because you are an aware being. It's like, then you buy into it and you go, oh my God, this. And it's like, stop. I actually use the Italian word basta, and I go, basta. It's like, you know, is this mine? Who does this belong to? And if it's not yours, it's like, don't buy it as real. But here's the thing. It's like I see a lot of people do this thing of like shutting down when they become aware of so much. What if you, again, could receive? What if you could receive all energies and you expand out? And just because you're aware of it doesn't mean you have to do anything about it. Just because you're aware of it doesn't mean you have to fulfill everybody's needs. That is your choice. And that's what this all comes down to as well. So if you ask the question, when you are quote unquote stressed, and go, okay, so if I wasn't choosing stress here, what other choice do I have? Because, you know, we make things so freaking significant and relevant. Even asking the question, you know, what am I making relevant here that isn't? Like yesterday when I rescheduled a podcast, and it's like, I knew that if I did that podcast, it would have, I was actually talking about joy business in this podcast, and I would have been like the dreary, you know, Wow, that girl's really talking about the joy of business. I just knew it wasn't the moment to do that. And so I was like, no, I have to change this. I have to, you know, pivot here and choose something different. So just question, when you think you're stressed, ask, who does this belong to? And, you know, I did this for 3 days and I wrote it down in my hand because I knew I'd forget, you know, in a marker pen, who does this belong to? And because you do, you forget. And then you look at your hand and you're like, oh, who does this belong to? It's really interesting to see. And we actually have, there's a clearing statement in Access Consciousness, which if you want, you can use it afterwards, but you ask, who does this belong to? And then you're not going to remember this, I know this, but everything at that is right and wrong, good and bad, pock and pot, all nine, shorts, boys, povids, and beyonds. And you can find out more about it at theclearingstatement.com, or you can just say pock and pod, which is the point of creation and the point of destruction, right? That you create this. I love that question you talked about with money, because it's that same sort of thing. Like that moment that you had that point of view about money, that's the point of creation of what? Oh yeah, your fear. And maybe it's the point of destruction of where you knew you could create something greater. So what you're doing too is that all those words and the vibration of it and everything that that means is going to that moment and just deleting it. You know, for me, it's like using the clearing statement is like, you know, getting your computer and deleting every program that you have open so you have this blank slate, and then you can actually look at, what is my point of view here? Because would an infinite being choose overwhelm or stress? You actually wouldn't.
Ooh, you would choose. Let that question just land. Can you ask that question one more time?
Would an infinite being choose stress or overwhelm? It's like you wouldn't. Like nature doesn't get overwhelmed. It's like they don't choose stress. I often use nature as something like if I do have a moment where I'm like, ah, and you know, we're lucky where we both live. You know, I just have to get in my car and drive or look out my window. You've got a million birds and the beach and everything and look at nature. And I'm like, you know, nature has this presumptive reality that you will just be. So I look at that and go, if I was just being with this, what would I choose? And here's the thing that I've noticed. As I choose that, everyone around you, I don't care if you're in a big, huge corporate meeting, you're speaking to hundreds of people, whatever, everyone around you recognizes that. And it actually inspires people to choose that as well. That's the world I want to live in.
Totally. I love that. This is good if we can understand that a lot of what we're experiencing is not ours.
Yeah.
And also consider, you know, people, the unconscious mind is listening and people walk around saying, I am, you know, I'm stressed, I'm sick. Excuse me, you are not sick. You are an abundant, infinite being who may be experiencing symptoms of sickness, but that does not mean that you label yourself as something that you are not. Be careful what you say to yourself. So no, as you know, I used to remember Dr. John DeMartini always used to say, I'm a multi-million-dollar money magnet. Everything I touch turns to gold.
Nice.
That's such a good sentence to do it with joy and understanding that we can create this. Okay. Simone, you talk about intuition. And I know this has been massive in my life. I made a lot of mistakes when I was younger. Still make mistakes today, don't get me wrong, in my 40s. But at the same time, I was not listening to my intuition when I was younger. So I'd have to, and what I did is I grinded, I pushed through the obstacles. And I kind of use the analogy that when you're in flow and you're living in a beautiful state, synchronicities appear and they're right before you and they come into your reality as signs from soul or signs from spirit. That we're on the right path. You know, I'm doing what I'm loving. I'm loving what I'm doing. I'm in spirit and I'm creating this. But I also think the further the synchronicities are away from each other, and I hope and trust that everyone understands the meaning of synchronicity, not just the random event, but something that has been created in your life, consciously or unconsciously. I say the further the synchronicities are apart, the more the person is grinding and hustling, the more they're living away from their purpose. Can you tell me, share with us, from $187,000 in debt to many businesses, global, you know, worldwide businesses, multi-million dollar a year type companies, how important is intuition and how do we use it?
I think it's really important and it's easier. It's easy. Like, you know that, like the way you just said, you didn't listen. That's it. You didn't listen. I didn't listen either. And man, I like to say I've had a very colorful life. Because I have no place to judge anyone. I've so been there, done that. And I didn't listen. That's correct. And I call it the umbrella theory. Because you know when you go to walk outside and you go, oh, take the umbrella. Then you go, nah, I don't need it. And later on that afternoon, yeah. And you go, I did need it. You know, it's again, it's like that cup of coffee thing with receiving. It's so little, but you know. So what else do you know? Besides just taking an umbrella, what else are you aware of? And ask yourself, like in business, if you're about to, you know, embark on some project, ask, okay, so will this project create greater? Does this match the energy of what it is I'm asking for? You know, if you're hiring staff, it's like, you know, will they be a contribution to the business? And you'll get this energy of, like, I call it the yes-no universe. Say you're hiring a staff member. Okay, will this person be a contribution to the business? And you get, yes. Okay, great. It's not how they will be, or they might be there for 1 month. They might be there for 10 years. It doesn't matter. You're not putting a timeline on it. You're asking the question, will this create something greater? Yes, no. And follow that. Because if you get a no, then go, okay, so what else is possible here? Is this for later, or is it something different? Like, I mean, Socrates, he always spoke about being in question. And I love, you know, Gary Douglas, the founder of Access Consciousness, that was one of the first things I heard from him. And I was like, oh, I love this. This is not about having to find an answer or going to a conclusion. It's about being in question. So with your intuition, if you go to an answer, you've just stopped everything. Oh, this won't work. You've just killed it. You've killed all the future possibilities rather than, is this for today or tomorrow? And I see a lot of really incredibly creative people, you know, like myself. The big joke is that, you know, everyone I work with, because I go, I was just in the shower, because I'm like one of those people who in the shower, I have a billion ideas, you know.
Yeah, same.
And, or you go for a run and you're like, you know what? I just had this idea. Like, you know, so many ideas. But how many people who are so creative and have all these ideas, they go to the judgment of themselves, mainly because of the projections at them that, oh, they can't settle down, they can't make up their mind, they're not actualizing any of it. Then you just kill the future possibilities rather than still have all these ideas, do whatever you want, get a book, write them down, and then ask a question, is this for now or is this for later? And you'll know, like intuitively, you'll know if this is for now or later. And then if you, for me, it's like I let it, it's all out there in the universe. And I go, it's almost like this extrapolation energy and you've got everything out there and you're like, oh, that, and things ping. And you go, I'll take this piece of information, this piece of information. Like one instance for me, it's like my father was an accountant and I thought accountants knew everything when I was growing up. I thought lawyers knew everything when I was growing up. And then I realized, oh, they don't. So what I learned was I would have consults and do this. If you're in business and you don't like your accountant, for an instance, you should have joy when you meet with your accountant. It should be creative. Mm-hmm. Go have a consult with another accountant. Like go have another consult. And then listen, because you'll hear all this information and there might be two things that you go, oh, this and this applies to me. Oh, I can take that piece and I can use this. But that's functioning from your awareness and your intuition of knowing this is going to work for me. This is not going to actually work for me. But you get to choose. This is your life, your business. You get to choose.
Powerful. Okay. I want to let people know where they can go to get your book, because one of the favorite things that I do is when I hear something that I resonate with, I buy the book or the audiobook, I listen and I consume, and then I take the top tools from that that is relevant to my current life and business and I apply it immediately. Sometimes I delegate it to my team. But as we know, as Tony Robbins says and many others say, 80% of our success is psychological and only 20% is mechanics. And I'm really grateful that we've taken time today to actually talk to the fundamental cause and the underlying energy and the energetic structures behind the psychological part. Because when we get that right, the 20% of mechanics is easy. It's the reason why not every person in the world is a successful entrepreneur and multi-million dollar a year or a multi-millionaire, because it's not about the 20% that is the mechanics. It has to start with the underlying, whatever's below the surface, the iceberg analogy.
Yeah.
And I'm really grateful that we've had that opportunity. So now if people want the mechanics and they want to go deeper into the psychology, where do they go to get a hold of your book, Joy of Business?
So get Joy of Business. I've got them in front of me because I was showing you before. And also Getting Out of Debt Joyfully, which is the second one I wrote. I love the fact that I put the word joy in both of them. You can get them on like Amazon, Booktopia, anywhere that you can buy books, you know, around the world, and they're on Audible as well. And you can go to SimoneMillis.com, accessconsciousness.com. My name is great for Google because so far I've never discovered another Simone Millis. So if you Google that, that's, you know, my website, my Instagram, you know, Facebook, all of that as well.
Yeah, look it up. So we've got Facebook, Access Simone Millis. We've got Instagram, same thing, Simone Millis. Look that up. Go and check it out. And I've got one last question I want to ask you, sister, straight off the cuff. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go. I want you now to imagine that the entire world, every sentient being alive, is here gathered and fully present to hear your message to the world. When you're ready, take a breath, take your time, and share with us, what is your message to the world right now?
Wow, you're going to make me cry. Okay, so I would say come out of judgment of you. If you come out of judgment of you, what we can actualize here on the planet is way beyond what you've ever imagined.
And so it is.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing that message. And tears, of course, means that they are so true for you. And I felt that. So super grateful for your time. Thank you for doing what you're doing. Yes, beautiful, you legend.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here.
Your mind is so sharp and your experience speaks volumes. And to end it with such deep care is just beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And maybe we'll have you back sometime. But go, guys, get a hold of this book, download the stuff, look at Access Consciousness, look at Simone's work. And maybe even if this has served you, please go ahead and share this interview with as many people as you can and listen to it several times if you have had any difficulty in starting or scaling a business and really get those fundamentals right first. Because when you do, everything else will fall on top of a stable foundation. It's been a privilege having you, Simone. Thank you so much again for your time.
Thank you so much, Espen.
Once again, thank you so much for listening. And if you want to learn more about how to walk the quantum path into life mastery, business mastery, if you want to learn more about our live events or coaching or anything that we offer, go to www.drespen.com. That's DRESPEN.com or email info@drespen.com. And let's find out how we can help you take your life, your business, and your mission to a whole another level. We'll see you next time.